Hello, and welcome to Also Yes! Star Wars!
Yes!
The Force has awoken.
It is. Oh, so many things have awoken inside me. Yes.
Yes. Okay, spoiler alert, we will be discussing Star Wars Episode 4, The Force Awakens, Episode 7. The Force Awakens. I said Episode 4. Well, it's the fourth one to me. It's the fourth Star Wars.
The fourth one has been out since... When has it been out?
77.
Since 77. So hopefully people have seen it.
No, but this is, to me, this is the fourth Star Wars movie.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we're not including the fanfics.
AKA episodes 1, 2, and 3.
Yes. Not a fan.
Let's get into it. Well, let's jump right in.
Right into it, okay?
Let's
BB-8.
Light speed.
BB-8. Favorite character. Is that your favorite character?
Finn is my favorite character.
Ah, okay.
Finn is hands down my favorite character. I know we already talked about it last night, but
yes.
We have to redo it for our audience of probably two people that listen to this as of right now.
Two? Yeah.
Well, we've been inconsistent. We've tried to record it a couple times, and I've gone back to do the edit, and it just wasn't up to snuff.
It's okay.
So, yeah, it's okay.
This is a worthy topic.
It's a very worthy topic, and soon we'll be kicking it back up. I'd like to do at least bi-weekly episodes, so
yeah,
we'll see if we can get that going. But anyway, so your overall 1 to 10, I know you've only seen it once,
mm-hmm.
but if you had to give it a 1 through 10, or actually, let's not do that. If you had to rank it in terms of your least favorite to favorite Star mm-hmm. Wars movie, where would you put it? Like, what would be above it on the list, and what would be below it on your list?
Okay, I will use all 7 in this ranking, all 7 films that have been created. Whether or not we agree or disagree with them,
okay.
I will incorporate them
That's
into
fair.
This ranking. So number one, top of the list, has to be A New Hope. The very original Star Wars came out in 77. That is, it's Star Wars. That is what introduces you to the War of the Stars. Like,
fair enough.
I learned everything I know from that. So I'm going to put that first. Second is actually a tie now. It used to be solely the sixth film, Return of the Jedi.
Okay, so you like Return of the Jedi.
I love Return
a
of the Jedi.
A lot of people feel that it's the weakest one of the
I
original trilogy.
I feel it is the second. I feel Empire Strikes Back is the weakest. No, it's not an opinion that's shared, but I have it tied now with The Force Awakens.
Wow. Okay.
Second. I have to see it some more times to get a little more accurate there, but after that, I would put Empire Strikes Back. The only reason I think that gets such a strong emotion out of people is because that's where you get the big reveal of Darth Vader being Luke's father.
Right.
So it is a strong
And it's also the one where the bad guys kind of
Yeah, the bad guys
win in
so
that
it
one.
It is different,
you know?
And that's a huge aspect of it. But then we got to go to the bottom three tier, which I would put 3, 1, 2. I actually dislike 2 more than I dislike 1.
Fair enough.
Only because I hate Anakin in 2.
Emo Anakin.
Yes.
Yeah.
I hate the...
Is that the one where he's like red-eyed, like half the movie, or is that episode 3?
Later on, yes. That's in...
Okay.
No, that's in 3, is where he gets like
okay.
all... crazy over the top emotional. 2, he's just like emo sad, and he hates sand. It's rough and coarse and it gets everywhere. That's an actual line from the movie.
Like, it's rough and coarse and it gets everywhere.
Riveting discussion.
But you're also a Star Wars child. I mean, you grew up
I
watching
love him. Star Wars. My dad introduced it to me when I was old enough to know what movies were, so I'm a big fan of them, honestly. But
the mic a little closer.
How about yourself?
Okay, so I did grow up watching Star Wars, not to the degree that you did, clearly, because to our listeners, Reed is a Star Wars buff. I mean, he is, I think, like a wealth of knowledge. I know that people on the internet take it a bit farther, but I mean, for a young
yes.
guy in college who has a social life and stuff, I mean, he's a pretty big Star Wars guy.
I really enjoy my Star Wars a little more than I should. I'm not big into all the extras, books and everything.
Right, I mean...
But
like, you're not like a basement collector or anything, but you
no.
know you're very...
The beard on my neck is shaven.
I'm the opposite from your fandom. I
yeah.
kind of am a casual watcher.
You're a filthy casual.
I'm not like exact polar opposite. I've seen
yeah.
all the movies.
Yes.
I enjoy watching them, but I don't actually read up on any of the stuff, you know, any fan theories, things like that.
Fair
I just, enough. I'm someone who sits down, watches the movies, and I do watch them, you know, at least every couple years I'll rewatch the original
mm-hmm.
trilogy. So the new one, Force Awakens... When I walked out, I initially thought it's the best one. Like
yes.
it is the best one that I've seen yet. But
mm-hmm.
after a few, you know, I just saw it, you know, about 12 hours ago or 24 hours ago rather.
Mm-hmm.
I still think A New Hope is better because it's the first
yes.
one. It was the foundation,
yes.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and also the limitation of technology and what they were able to create back then.
Yes.
Awesome. So I think
A
New Hope
is
A New Hope is still the best
yes.
to me. Then Force Awakens, the new one. I
yeah.
honestly think that it is number 2 for me.
Yeah.
Then I think Empire Strikes Back
yeah.
you know, going down.
Mm-hmm.
Then Return of the Jedi. Well, those are actually tied to me. I actually like episode five and six equally. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'll go episode four, episode seven.
Episode then five and six.
Five and six are tied. Mm-hmm. Then episode three, because that's the best of the prequel. That's the least crappy prequel.
Yeah.
And then, you know, one and two, I really don't even give merit to at all.
I think the biggest reason I like one more than two is because of the Darth Maul fight. One, because of Darth Maul. I love him as a bad guy. Like, he is just... He's such a badass coming out. Dual lightsaber and the cool-ass tattoos. First thing he's got going on. And then the music playing in the background. That was awesome to me.
Speaking of that lightsaber fight, somebody mentioned online, and I agreed with it completely. The best lightsaber fight probably almost ever was in the new movie. Because they're not doing the poorly choreographed flips flying over stuff. And, you know, like, it was just in a woods and they're hacking away at each other angrily.
Yeah.
It just felt more realistic to me.
I felt a lot more emotion.
Right. And it wasn't like flippy, crazy, Matrix-style lightsaber fights.
This is the emotion I should have felt when I was watching Obi-Wan battle Anakin for the first time at the
end of 3. But instead they're gliding on lava.
And there was emotion there, but the emotion was built up by the music and the atmosphere, not by the fighting. The fighting seemed almost too perfect.
Right.
Like, you're battling your best friend, your mentor, son, your brother. Like, this is someone that you should feel emotional about fighting, but it was a little too perfect. You're right. This new, in The Force Awakens, the big lightsaber battle, there's two big ones, I guess you would say. There's one between Finn and Kylo.
And Finn and the Stormtrooper. It's initial. Quick. It's over quickly, but
I'm guessing talk about like the lightsaber battles. I would call the Finn and Kylo, and then there's Rey and Kylo.
Yeah,
those it was at the end, and they were just so emotional.
It was cool.
Like, I felt the badassery
and the little T-split handle thing.
Yes.
Everyone hated
when they first saw
it. The main villain's lightsaber has like a little thing that comes out of the handle, the hilt.
Yeah.
He actually uses that in the fight and starts to burn Finn's shoulder. I thought that was a clever little addition there. Like, it wasn't just completely neglected by the creators. They didn't make this ridiculous lightsaber and then not utilize the design.
You know, there's a lot of details they incorporated into this that more and more I'm realizing are very subtle, but really appreciated. For example, talking about the lightsaber, if you pay attention to the difference between the lightsaber that was once Anakin's and then Luke's and now Rey's, and compare that lightsaber to Kylo Ren's lightsaber, look at the blade itself. Like, it's so smooth and clean and almost like calm.
Luke's lightsaber, Luke's old Rey's lightsaber. Yeah.
And then when you compare it to Kylo's lightsaber, it was like flaming.
Chaotic.
Yeah,
the beam looked kind of,
it could either be like the crystals they used to make it, where it was not finished, because he was rushed, or just it shows his emotion. Like, he's unstable. I mean, he talked about not being sure about the light or the dark side.
Right, when he's talking about Vader's helmet and everything.
To the light side. Yeah. He feels this conflict in him, and I think his saber even shows that.
That's so good. I want to go watch it again.
Yes.
Like, I already want to go see it again.
It was just fun.
Yeah.
It was enjoyable.
Fun, and I feel like even if it's your first Star Wars movie, you can still go watch it.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
You will enjoy it a lot more if you've seen the other ones, in my opinion. There are a lot of throwbacks. It is slightly derivative of the first movie.
Yeah.
There's a lot of tie-ins or similarities, but it's enjoyable nonetheless.
Speaking of going back and watching the original trilogy, I was just telling you, I downloaded the despecialized edition of the original trilogy. Because I'm sure most people are aware by now, George Lucas has gone back and kind of bastardized, you know,
he has
the films.
Re-released and remade the films many times.
And it doesn't destroy the films, but as someone who enjoys history, I like the elements of, you know,
in history, you call it primary source.
Right, and at the original theatrical release in 77, I believe it was, of A New Hope, that theatrical release is how I think the movie should be watched, because that they were limited by the technology at the time. When you go back in, you add CGI into it, it just makes it less... It takes away from the integrity.
It's not the original award-winning Star Wars.
Right, the person who makes the despecialized edition, he says, you know, they're changing the Oscar-winning, you know, score and the Oscar-winning, you know... screenplay. Like, it's...
They're subtle changes, but they add up, and it makes a really... It really does make a different experience.
Right. Honestly. So there's a guy who has gone frame by frame. He's taken the Blu-ray release to be the template, and he's splicing in 35mm film footage, DVD footage, VHS footage, anything he can find that kind of makes it a definitive version. And he's
close as possible to the very original.
and he is an expert on this, and he consults other people from, you know, the original trilogy fan website.
Like you said, he's gotten the actual original 35mm film that they filmed it on.
As close to it.
Like, as he's gotten copies of that to where he can see exactly what it was supposed to look like.
Right, and he corrects the color and things like that. So
making an HD version.
I watched a little bit of it last night, and I'm really excited to watch the rest of it. And he's continuing to work on it. It's in 720p now. He's going to release it in 1080p probably this coming year, he said, because it deserves it. So
yeah.
And then we'll have to get together and make actual TV Blu-rays out of it, because
the collection. Yeah. It's going to be great.
So the Despecialized editions, you can find them online.
Just search Star Wars Despecialized.
Right, and if you're at least a little tech savvy, you'll find a way to get it. And it is the way to view it, I believe.
Yeah, it's fantastic. But let's bring it back to the new movie.
The new movie, let's bring it back,
See, there were so many things that I enjoy about this. All right, key things that I think really stood out to me. One is that they didn't rely too much on old planets or old people.
Ooh.
Of course, they did incorporate, like, of course, you see Han and Leia, you know.
Right.
Like, we're talking about, of course, like, Luke and Vader, and we're referencing and showing a lot of these old people, but they didn't rely on it. That was not the crutch of the movie.
They're allowing the new characters to develop.
Yeah. They were on... we didn't hear or talk about Tatooine. We didn't talk about Hoth. We didn't talk about Endor. We didn't talk about any of these big planets from the original movie as a crutch. These were... you find Rey on Jakku, a new planet.
Right.
Like, they're on these completely different
similar
planets.
Similar to Tatooine, but it's still not...
Like, they're... It's a new story. It does have similarities. It does tie in, but they're not using that as a crutch.
And, okay, big spoiler alert. Huge spoiler alert. Okay, going... Like, what I'm about to say.
Darth Jar Jar is real. It's a thing. No, sorry. We'll talk about that later.
Waiting to show Luke... till the very end was the right choice, because the minute he comes on screen, he takes over.
Yeah,
and had he come back in the middle of the film, it would have been all about Luke Skywalker.
Mm-hmm.
But they allowed the new characters to really develop their personalities, develop their you know, into their own before showing Luke.
And I see so much potential with these characters.
Right, and now that they've done a full movie with these characters, they can bring Luke into the next movie because we're already invested. Now we care about them.
Yeah.
So that is...
So they can kill him in the next movie.
Right.
That, God, I hope not.
That is so great that they waited to show Luke, and I really think that they gave that a lot of thought as opposed to just throwing him on there. You know, he doesn't even say anything.
Yeah.
It's just him looking... at Rey at the end, and I think that was the right choice. Yeah. I absolutely think so.
Here's another one I love. They did not kill off Kylo Ren. Kylo Ren is going to be, at least it appears right now, one of, if not the main bad guy for the time being.
Right.
We're going to get some development out of him. Because they didn't specifically say he survived. Also, side note, we mentioned these are spoilers, right? We've said that multiple times. If you're still listening to this, stop and go watch the movie.
I'll add in another spoiler alert at the beginning to preface.
Yeah, but like you see him get injured, but they say, okay, go collect Kylo. We're going to take him back for more training.
Right.
Is what they say. I'm paraphrasing. So they insinuate that he's still alive.
Right. In Star Wars, they don't show someone dying. It's pretty...
Yeah.
It's presumed that they're alive, right?
But him being alive is big, because if you remember The Phantom Menace with Darth Maul, Darth Maul had a lot of potential, I feel like. If you had carried him over to the second film and seen him develop,
he could have been a mean badass.
Yeah, but they killed him off right away. We saw him on screen for like 3 minutes total.
Yeah.
But this is someone that they're going to see develop. You see his emotional rage. You see how he's not perfect right now.
Right.
He has so much emotion. He can't control it. You see him lashing out and destroying like his equipment with his lightsaber.
Punching his own wounds to try to psych himself up.
That was big. Yeah.
He even needs his dad to give him a pep talk.
Yeah.
To kill his dad.
Yeah, like he's...
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, Han Solo is killed. That is like essentially the big climactic scenes.
He needs Han to give him a pep talk to kill him.
Yeah.
Hey, give me a pep talk into killing you, please.
Yes.
I mean, that's... So he's a great imperfect villain.
He really is.
Yeah.
Like, it's...
Idolizes Darth Vader.
He does.
Talks to his helmet as if he's there, you know.
And another thing I like, not only did they bring more of a human character side to the dark side, they made the stormtroopers and everyone else seem more human.
Emotional. They're no longer clones.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They are humans. And you see, for example, from the very beginning, Finn was a stormtrooper. And he sees someone else die in front of him and like...
Kind of freaks out.
Yeah, it freaks him out seeing all of this. And he's like, I don't want to do this. But then you see later on, these stormtroopers, they have personality. Mm-hmm. You see when Kylo Ren's really angry and stormtroopers are coming around the corner, they
kind
of like
so great.
whoa, and they just back up
slowly away. Back away when they hear the destruction happening. That was awesome.
It really was.
They're not just you know dummies like walking around shooting and missing everything. You know,
no.
Just the joke of stormtrooper aim. You know,
mm-hmm.
They're
well,
actually
had good aim.
They're human soldiers now, which mm-hmm. they're not just lifeless.
Yeah.
So
and that makes me think another topic: the humor in the movie.
Something that we did not have prior.
A little bit here and there, but
right.
It wasn't as much.
Like, they're clearly writing funny moments into the script
mm-hmm.
now.
Yeah.
You know? So that's, I liked that a lot.
Yeah. I compare it almost to, like, a Joss Whedon's Avengers, where it's not as lighthearted, it's a little more serious than that, but there are funny parts, and it's very organic.
Right.
It's things that just kind of flow with it. Like, you would expect almost someone to react like this.
And they just make, and it wasn't mm-hmm. stuff that, like, they didn't come out with, like, a big punchline, gimmicky, ha-ha. Like,
yeah.
It's just stuff that made the audience kind of go, ha-ha!
Yeah.
And then that was kind of it.
It was great. Like, a little thing. When they first reveal the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah.
They're running away, being attacked, Rey and Finn. And they're running to a ship. And Finn's like, why don't we use that ship? No, that ship's garbage. Let's go to this ship. And then they destroy the ship they're running to. He's like, okay, to the garbage ship it is. And you kind of joke at that. And then you look,
Screen
and the garbage
pans.
Ship is the Millennium Falcon. That's what they're talking
about.
Which
is amazing.
About. So, like, little things like that. They're humorous, but they tie in really well.
And while they're running to the ship that they originally wanted to get on, for mm-hmm. about 5 frames, somebody
yeah.
saw online, it does show the Millennium Falcon, but
yeah.
it's blurry because they're running. J.J.
Mm-hmm.
Abrams actually had that in a trailer,
oh,
those
yeah.
5 frames, and
huh.
everyone missed it because it's blurry.
Nice.
But no one put it together, and you'd think that, you know, the big Star Wars
yeah.
crowd would. But.
That is... See, things like that, they're good. They're subtle, but they work really well.
And it gives you that, if you haven't seen the original movies,
mm-hmm.
it's still funny, you know, the
yeah.
Millennium Falcon is an iconic picture, but if you have seen the original movies, you get that emotional, oh, it's the Millennium Falcon,
yeah.
you know, like, oh, yeah.
Oh,
you know?
There it is.
Yeah.
The same thing when Han and Chewie first come on screen.
I didn't think they would come on that soon.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah.
It kind of threw me off, but when you see them, it was just like, whoa. What? It's Han and Chewie.
Yeah. Yes.
Whoa.
What are they doing with that huge,
yeah.
that huge ship, right? Yeah.
Oh, it was great.
Yeah.
The thing with how the Millennium Falcon was stolen from them and so
right.
from someone else and from someone
and,
else.
Yeah, she goes, well, it was stolen from him who was taken
yeah.
by this and it was stolen. So funny.
Yeah, who stole it from me? Oh, one of my favorite lines where Rey's like, this is the Millennium Falcon. This is the ship that made the Kessel Run in 14 parsecs.
And he goes, ugh.
12.
He's like correcting her.
So, like, there are little throwbacks and stuff like that, which
right.
is cool.
Really cool. It's like, and, you know, Luke Skywalker, isn't he just a legend? They really tie in everything.
Yeah,
so
the Force? No, it's real. The Force, Jedi, all of it.
Yeah, that's... They did such a good job. They did
mm-hmm.
such a good job. And...
That was great.
I'm going to see it again, probably, before it's out of theaters.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to actually... I'm going to buy it on Blu-ray. I never buy movies, but I'm probably going to buy that one because
yeah.
it's... As an adult, having the fact that a Star Wars movie came out in my adult years
yes.
means a lot to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm going to be watching this movie for years to come.
Yeah, it was... It's not just a great movie. Like, you think of, oh, Shawshank Redemption or Casablanca or Gone with the Wind. Like, classic, well-made, directed films.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 10 out of 10 films. I wouldn't even put it like that.
Right.
It was... I'd give it a minimum an 8 out of 10. So...
Would you?
Honestly, I would put it up as a 7.58.
Like,
out
if
10.
It weren't Star Wars, you mean?
I think I'm trying not to be too biased, but it's hard not to.
Right.
I would put it between a 7 and an 8 out of 10 minimum.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it's a good movie, but it's so great because you enjoy it. It was fun.
Right.
Like, I had a blast watching it.
But would that not make it a 10 out of 10 then, if you really enjoyed the experience? I mean,
I guess I
realize.
Going off of, like.
If you're looking objectively, like, at the movie, like, it's in terms of, like, an action movie, like, I get that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you didn't know Star Wars, or if you kind of took that, you know, whole franchise away from it, I get what you're saying, but I feel like if you enjoyed it that much, would it not be an 8 out of 10? Or a 10 out of 10?
I guess when I say that, you know, 10 out of 10, I'm comparing it to cinematic masterpieces.
Like Pulp Fiction and...
Like things that where you can break apart every detail of the storyline and how it was tied in, and there were no loopholes, or there was no this, like, a lot of it did have some issues. It was... A lot of people would say it was a mirror of A New Hope, almost.
Right, which I'm okay with.
Yeah,
and,
which
and,
I'm fine
and,
with.
And you're okay with.
But it was a little derivative, you know, like.
So in terms of being a perfect movie, I get what you're saying.
Movie.
It's not like up there with the greats.
But outside of the fandom of Star Wars, it's still a great movie.
Right, and within the fandom of Star Wars,
it's even better.
It's one of the best.
Yeah, it really is. I'm gonna see it again tomorrow. I think. At like $6 movie theater.
That's great. You heard it here first, folks, on the Also Yes podcast. That
well, hopefully you didn't hear it first. Hopefully you saw the movie.
Hopefully you
first.
Saw the movie. But outside of Star Wars fandom, fantastic movie.
Yes.
And within Star Wars fandom, it is one of the best Star Wars movies. 110%.
Love it. Go see it. Go see it again and again.
Yeah. And again.
And again.
So you want to wrap it up here?
Yeah.
I think it's a 20-minute episode. We'll pick back up at sometime soon.
Sounds good to me.
All right. Thank you. You've been listening to Also Yes. Yes.